Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 96th Psalm, Psalm 96. Let us first sing from Psalter 415, in stanzas 9 and 10. O consider my affliction, all my travail, Lord, behold. Grant me full and free remission of my trespasses untold. 9 and 10 of Psalter 415.
Thank you. Before we read the portion from God's holy word, we wish to read the Ten Commandments as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us read Psalm 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we come together in thy house in this beautiful Sabbath morning. And when we may be gathered together round about thy word of truth, and we have heard read unto us in these moments, what is our duty? That we are to give unto thee glory and strength. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but Thou hast made the heavens. And then we are to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. But who is able to do so in this moment, in this hour, in this Thy holy day? For what Thou dost require of us, that was able from our side before that we have departed from Thee. And the beginnings of it will begin again, when Thou wilt restore us again. But if not, then there is no magnifying of Thy name, because we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, and we are not able to bring forth one good thought, and we are not able to sing out of a true and an upright heart. Lord, we beseech Thee then, if Thou may desire the glory of Thy own name, and that Thou may begin from Thy side, and that Thou may look upon each and every one of us as we are traveling through this world in that state in which we have been born, and then Thou hast brought us to Thy house, and Thou hast given unto us the means of grace far above many in this world from whom they are withheld. Our responsibility and our accountability, and that is so very great before Thee. But our death state remains the same until that moment, and that it is Thy good pleasure to speak in our life, and to stop us upon our way, and to bless that word that may be read by us in our homes, or may be preached in our ears upon Thy day. O Lord, we beseech Thee then, that Thou may remember us all together in Thy house in this hour. O, it is a solemn hour. It is an hour for which we will give an account before Thee in that great day of days. But what can we do with all our responsibility? And then it is only increasing our guilt. O Lord, bind it upon our hearts. And while it is still called today, and stretch Thou forth Thy mighty arm, grant that life from the dead as a fruit of Thy blessed resurrection. O Thou hast conquered all the strength of the enemy, and Thou hast shown Thyself to be too strong for him. And then he was not able to keep Thee in the grave, and then he is not able to keep us in the grave either. In that spiritual death, if Thou dost decide otherwise, if it is Thy holy will, O Lord, we beseech Thee then, have mercy upon us amidst well-deserved wrath. Or it could be that we have come up in this morning hour out of a mere form and out of a custom. Or it could be that there is no desire in our heart, But that we may see maybe our friends in this world, and that we may speak unto them for a moment. But then there has been no thought in this morning hour of Thee, or a desire to hear what Thou hast to say unto us. O Lord, then wilt Thou prove out of Thy holy word, or wilt Thou show it unto us feelingly and believingly, that Thou art the Alpha. O Thou sayest it in Thy word, Thou art the Alpha, Thou art the beginning. O Lord, show it unto us in the raising of the dead, in the bringing forth of that new life, in the seeking out of Thy own, whom Thou hast known from a never begun eternity. Oh, that it may be the day of Thy good pleasure in this day, in this morning, in this afternoon hour, that Thy word may be sanctified, that hearts may be pricked, that breasts may be smitten, And that the cry may go up unto heaven, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, it can be that there are others, they have come up with a need in their soul. Lord, oh, that thou may remember them then. Oh, it can be in an outward way, but it also could be from thee. Oh, Lord, we ask of thee to make it from thee. And wilt thou take away everything that is from our side? Oh, especially if we are deceivers of our own selves. Oh, if it has only been a matter of upbringing in our life. And if we do take it for thy Spirit's work. And if we consider ourselves to be one of thy people, but that we are so greatly mistaken, then it shall be such a disappointment to us when we have to stand before thy judgment seat. Oh, then we must confess to thee that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That we have of ourselves no need and desire and longing for thee, but only for the saving of our own skin. O Lord, that thou may remember us. O wilt thou make it true if it is not true? And wilt thou bind the seriousness of life upon our souls? O that we may be given while we are in this time state to see the danger that we are in. This state in which we have been born, and that we may be given new affections and new desires, new longings after the true and the holy God. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou alone hast all power, given unto thee in heaven and in earth. Thou alone art able to give unto us what we stand in need of. We acknowledge our sin before thee with our mouth. Oh, give it in our heart. Oh, we acknowledge our sin in our father Adam. And we must acknowledge that it is our own guilt. That we do follow his steps from day to day. That there is no desires that are after thee, but only after this world. Oh, we acknowledge our wretchedness and our misery. But Lord, we look upon to thee. In whom alone is there help? Oh, we beseech thee then, that thou may show forth thyself in this day. Oh, show that thou still rememberest thy covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Oh, do show that thou still hast a people, and that thou wilt gather for thy dear Son, who has accomplished for thy church everything necessary to deliver them from the wrath to come, and thou who hast promised him an inheritance. Oh, we beseech thee that we and our children may be among that people. Oh, that we may be made servants of him. Oh, that we may be made children, sons and daughters. By the blessed adoption, O Lord, do it. Do it, we are not worthy thereof. There is nothing from our side to plead upon. But we beseech thee, because of thy own merits. We beseech thee because of thy own covenant. Oh, remember it, Lord, thy own word. Thou canst not come against it. Thou must fulfill it. Thou sayest, I am that I am. Remember us then with all our children. Wilt thou look upon all those that are needy? We remember in a special way the wife and mother in the midst of our congregation. Lord, thou knowest where that she is. Thou knowest the message that she has heard from the doctors in this week. Oh, then man, he has come to an end of everything. For then it is said there is nothing, and there is nothing that we are able to do for you. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember her? Because when man comes to an end, then thou art not at an end. Oh, we beseech thee if it could please thee for her life. We beseech thee if it could please thee for her health, for her strength, that thou mayest spare her in this world, and that thou mayest not cut off her life in the midst of the years. But wilt thou in wrath remember mercy? But Lord, we beseech thee also for the need of her soul. O Lord, deliver it. O deliver it as thou alone art able. And wilt thou give her in this most distressing time to be able by a true and living faith to look upon to thee. O give her that blessed place at thy footstool, at thy throne of mercy, and that thou may forgive and blot out all her iniquities and all her transgressions. Remember her husband, remember her children in this deep way. Wilt thou sanctify this way to them and to us together? We are so utterly careless. We have ears, but we do not hear. We have eyes, but we do not see. We have hearts, but we do not understand. Convert us, Lord. Convert us from above. Remember all the afflicted and all the sick ones. Wilt thou supply for them in all their needs? They are young and they are old. Those in the nursing home. Those that are not able to gather with us. Those that may listen by church telephone. Wilt thou thyself make it well for them? And wilt thou look upon all thy servants this day? Supply in all the needs in the bringing forth of thy word of truth. Oh, that thy kingdom may come amongst Jew and amongst Gentile. And that it may come also in the midst of the established churches. And wilt thou give help unto thy truly sent servants. Remember those who study in the theological school. All thou knowest they have begun. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand and on the right and on the left. Also of their wives and of their children. All that thou may help them in all their transition also that they are going through. And that thou may be near and dear unto them. And by the presence of thy spirit. And wilt thou look upon us in thy mercy. Help in all the circumstances of this life. Be with us together in this hour. Lord, then we are called to bring a little portion of thy word. Strengthen us therefore in our body. And that we may be received from thee. And what is necessary to bring it forth to young and old. In the mind also, that it may be in an understandable way for each and every one. But oh, bring it now in our hearts together. Oh, affect us by the power of thy Spirit. That we may be truly born again. That we may be truly renewed by thee. That thy children may receive a little crumb from the table of the Master. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 16, stanzas 1, 4, 8, and 9. With wholehearted thanksgiving to thee and will I bring. In praise of thy marvelous deeds will I sing. In thee I will joy and exultingly cry. Thy name I will praise, O Jehovah Most High. We announce anyone wishing to join the Confession of Faith class, please let me know by tomorrow evening so that we can plan appropriately. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter number 16, 1, 4, 8, and 9. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and thereof the 10th verse. 1 Samuel 2, verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So far in the words of our text. Hannah prophesies of the judgment of the Lord. First, the certainty of this judgment. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. Second, the manner of this judgment. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Thus Hannah prophesies of the judgment of the Lord. First, the certainty of this judgment. And second, the manner of this judgment. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. What is it? Is that right of Hannah? That Hannah, she is glorying in the punishment of other persons? That Hannah takes delight in that other persons should suffer at the hands of the Lord? That is, congregation, not what it is. If we consider for a moment another portion of God's Word, then we can read of a Ziba. Ziba has attempted to take advantage of Mephibosheth. And in doing so, he has deceived King David. David, when Mephibosheth cried to him, and he said, "My servant has deceived me," David said to him, "Why speakest thou to me any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." What now lives in our hearts? What is it that we feel when we think about that sentence that King David has given? Then there is actually in our heart a pain. When we think about what Ahab has done and what Jezebel has done unto Naboth, then we can read how that false witnesses were set up in the judgment. Thus it was not true. But those false witnesses, they have convinced the people that this righteous man should be put to death. And so he was slain, and Ahab goes forth to take his vineyard. what lives in our hearts. When it is right, then in our heart we should feel a certain pain, an inward pain. Why? Because every man, as he has been created, desires a due retribution. That is, boys and girls, another big word. Retribution, but not heart. What does that mean? Retribution. That means that a wicked person is punished, and that a righteous person is freed. Or that someone who does something good, he gets his reward. Then he receives his due retribution. And that is now living in the heart of every person when he is in his right mind. Thus, we can read about two women. They each have a child, and the one has overlaid the child in the night, and she has laid the dead child in the bosom of her friend. And those two women, they go to King Solomon. And King Solomon makes a judgment, a wise judgment. And he gives that child to its right mother because he says she is the mother thereof. What is now living in our heart? Now in our heart we feel something. We feel a certain rest in us. Why? Because there was given a due retribution. That desire that a man should receive that due retribution, also that he should receive a punishment that is not revenge. Revenge, that is something different. Revenge that is out of hatred. Revenge desires that other person may feel pain. And that revenge is glorying in that suffering of that other person. That is not true of the virtuous mind. Then they have no desire to give that punishment with their own hands. But it is only a desire that the law may be upheld, that there may be righteousness done. That is also perfectly consistent with forgiving. Because when I forgive my neighbor, then I give up something that was a harm done against me when that person is not able to repay it again. But that does not mean that a person must give up that desire for that due retribution. This desire that is created in us, it is a right feeling. What is it? It is a desire for justice in the judgment. How would it be if men in this world had no desire that there should be justice done in the judgment. Thus here, we have actually one of those sparks that is left in men after his fall. It is actually a spark of the image of God. We know that man has lost that image, that knowledge, that righteousness, and that holiness. And yet the Lord has left in His common goodness certain sparks for the continuation of this world, that there may be some semblance of peace and unity and justice in the world in order that His people may be gathered in. Thus, this desire for retribution that is one of those precious sparks of the image of God that is still left in man after the fall. If that is so, and that is one of those sparks of that image left in man, that means that it is part of that image of God itself. And it means that this desire for retribution, that is not revenge, but that desire for the fulfillment of righteousness and for the honoring and the upholding of the law that is existing in God Himself in a perfect way, in a full way. And therefore it cannot be otherwise but that what we read here that Hannah is singing, that she says, "The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth." Our fathers, they said the same. They say God's justice must be satisfied. Solomon, he says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Hannah sang of the judgments of the Lord. She sang of those judgments in the way of providence. The bows of the mighty are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Thus she speaks, she sings of the just judgments of the Lord in the way of His providences. Sometimes those judgments are brought upon men immediately, boys and girls. We can read about Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? They lied. They lied to the Lord in lying to His servants. And then what do we read happened to them? Then the Lord has cut them off immediately. And so we see that there was an immediate bringing forth of justice and judgment by the Lord. And that happened very quickly also in the life of Nabal. You can read that history in the Bible. But more often, there is a delay. There is a delay in the judgment of God in this world, and sometimes that judgment is not coming during the life of a person, but that judgment is awaiting him upon his death. Thus, a delay. We see that concerning the first sin, because the Lord said to Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And that took place. In that day, then there was a spiritual death. And that was death to them also. In that spiritual way, signified in that natural way when they were driven out from before the presence of the Lord. But we see that the temporal death and that eternal death that is reserved for a future time, thus it is delayed. What is the purpose? That the Lord will delay the carrying out of His just judgment. In the first place, we can read in God's Word that the Lord has this purpose, and that is that He gives time for repentance. Thus, when the Lord has delayed for us His judgments, what is now the effect in our own life when the Lord does that for the purpose of giving to us time that we may return again unto Him? The Lord delays His judgments in the midst of this world because He says that He has no desire in the death of the wicked. That is, He has no desire in the death of any one of His elect who are yet lying in their wickedness, and He is extending this world until the time that every one of them may be brought to a true repentance. Another purpose we can read in God's Word of the delay of that just judgment of the Lord, that is for the ripening of the wicked for that day of judgment. We read that there are those who are mocking at that delay, and they will come more in the last days, that is in our days, where they will say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Often, that delay that is turned into an oppression. Solomon says, because sentence for an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so we can see that in the life of Pharaoh, that time after time the Lord is increasing those judgments one after the other, but He is delaying that final cutting off. And so that Pharaoh is increasing his responsibility, his accountability, because of the postponing of the judgments of the Lord. There is another purpose for the delay in the judgment of the Lord, and that is often in the trial of His own children. And so we see that Joseph has to lay a long time, though he was ill accused, in the prison. before the Lord is delivering him from his enemies. Asaph, we read, he saw the end of the wicked when he went into the house of the Lord. But then Asaph must be taught himself to wait upon the Lord for his judgments. In the fall, it seemed that Satan had won. Because Satan, then he has taken that crown of the creation of God, and he has brought them under his own power. The devil and all the devil's instruments, they are warring against the Lord not only, but they are warring against the church of the Lord. And the Lord is giving them a certain permission that we can read of from the beginning, that Satan may bruise that heel of Christ. But that cannot continue forever, because God would not be God if he did not bring the prince of darkness himself unto his just judgment. And it is the judgment of Satan and his instruments which is actually the deliverance of that true church of God. Thus, Hannah says, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. But how will he do that? We see that in our second thought. Last week, we heard how that Hannah is rejoicing in the dealings of the Lord with his people. They are dealings which are very special. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Thus, the Lord, is having dealings with his people, wherein he is going to honor and magnify and glorify himself. Thus, they are very special dealings. After Hannah does so, then she begins to look, to take her glance, as it were, from that which is past and also that which is present. And she begins to look at the future. We can read that multiple times in the Word of God, that when God's children, they may give expression to the holy longings and the desires that are living in their hearts, that the Spirit of the Lord causes them to be raised to that height of prophecy. Thus, you can read about from the Psalms of David, how that he has given expression to his godly longings, and that the Lord in this has come in with it to give him also to speak of those things which were to come. And that is now what Hannah is doing in the words of our text. She says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken. The Lord shall judge. What does she prophesy? Thus she prophesies of judgment. What kind of judgment? Because there is much judgment in this world. But Hannah prophesies of a kind of judgment that is giving that satisfaction to every man in that desire for retribution, and in a special way is for the aid of the church of God. What kind of judgment? It is a just judgment. A right judgment. Because he says, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. That task of judgment that is not given to everyone. I don't mean just the judgment of our mind in a natural way, but this speaks here about judgment in the court, as it were. David understood it when Saul would take his life, when his soldiers will say, now take the life of Saul. Then David says, no, that is not my responsibility. He says, the time is coming that he shall die. Thus, David says, the Lord is the judge. The Lord, he is the highest judge. But the Lord is also setting judges in the midst of the earth. What is the first judge that we have recourse to in our life? That is our Father. We fathers are judges in the midst of our own home. That is not exactly the same as a civil judge, because we also are a father. Nevertheless, the judgment of the civil magistracy that is actually coming from, it is actually an extension of the judgment of a father in his own home. Thus, God is the judge. We can read that sometimes the Lord calls these judges who he is setting as magistrates in the world, that the Lord, he is calling them in his word, gods. He says, I have said ye are gods. Why? Because those judges, they are standing in the place of God here upon the earth. And they are called to judge a righteous judgment. They are called to judge according to the mind of God. And they are, in fact, the mouthpiece of the Lord in judgment here in the world. That is the reason that the apostle, he says, fear God and honor the king. That we are duty-bound to be obedient unto our magistrates. Hannah, she says, he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. We know that prophecy, that is often in steps. Thus, there is often a near prophecy, and then there is a prophecy that is further off. And we can see that also here, because in an immediate way, Hannah is speaking about that little child. She has brought that little Samuel before Eli. And Hannah may be given by the Spirit of the Lord to look into the future. that child, he shall be the means of a great reformation in the land of Israel. And that child will also be called by the Lord to anoint David to be king over Israel. Israel at that time was under oppression. By whom, children? Do you know? Who were the enemies of Israel at the time of Samuel? They were the Philistines. And we can read that she prophesies, she says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. If we go later in the history, then we can read, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Thus, the birth of Samuel, that was actually the dawning, it was the birth of a new day. There was coming a great change in the midst of Israel. There was going to be a conquering of the enemies of the Lord, of the enemies of the people of the Lord. There would be under King David a great extension of the borders and the greatness and the power over the enemies of the children of Israel. So Hannah, she may prophesy in the first place of that nearer deliverance of the people of the Lord in that little child. But then we can read that Hannah, she is also going further. Because then she begins to look even further into the future, where she may see something of that great anti-type of King David, and that she may begin to prophesy not only of the works of the Lord in the way of providence, but also of the works of the Lord in the way of grace. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Several weeks ago, then we said, now it seems like Hannah, boys and girls, when she had that great burden, you know what that was, she had no child. And then it seems like Hannah, she has just a selfish desire. All the other mothers, they may have children, and I may not have children. And then we have said, that was not so. That was not just a mere selfish desire in the life of Hannah. That was not her greatest burden. And that becomes evident now. Then we may see what was that song that she is singing when she may bring that child before the countenance of the Lord. That's what is our greatest desire. Is our greatest desire in the temporal needs? Is it in the temporal wants? Is it in the temporal cares? Or is there something more? Because we have seen how Hannah, she is rejoicing in the deliverances of the people of the Lord. How that the Lord is delivering his people out of the hand of all of their enemies in a providential way. But now those providences, they are leading her to the spiritual deliverances of the Lord. Have they ever done so in your life? The natural needs to bring us to our spiritual needs. The natural desires that they may lead us higher unto spiritual desires. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. The enemies of the church, they are here below, instruments of the devil. Thus they are instruments of the arch enemy of the church. And that church experiences, feels their lack of power, their helplessness under that enemy. Israel in bondage could not deliver themselves. No, they had to feel how helpless that they were. And then it was not in the beginning, but it was later on that we read of that people, that their cry that is coming up unto heaven. Hannah, she sees also a bondage. You say that is the Philistines. Yes, they were under the oppression of the Philistines. They were actually servants to the Philistines. That was a great dishonor unto the people of the Lord. That was a great burden in a natural way. But Hannah even sees more, because she sees that the people themselves, they have departed from the Lord. She sees that even the priesthood that was corrupt. And how is it now possible? It is one thing to defeat our natural enemies, but how is it now possible when that corruption that is coming within that church of God itself, and when God's children, as Hannah, were shedding tears, was weeping because of the transgressions, because of the sins, sighing and crying for the abomination of the people of the Lord. How is it possible that that work of Satan among his people, even within his people, shall be destroyed? And then Hannah, as she begins to sing, she begins to sing of power. If for her, then she experienced so much helplessness in it. But she begins to sing about the power of a king. A king always has power. What the word of a king is, there is power. But here she begins to speak of a special king. She says it is his king. He will give strength unto his king. Whose king? It is God's king. And she calls him his anointed, and exalt the horn of his anointed. That is the first time that we read in the Bible of this word, which is actually the word Messiah, as you read it in the English for the first time in the book of Daniel. But here, she is using in the Hebrew that exactly the same word called anointed. Anointment, that speaks of two things. That is the appointment to an office, and it is the qualification for that office. So what does Hannah see? She is looking into the future. Oh, she is oppressed under the hand of the enemy amidst the people of the Lord. And Hannah may be given by the Lord to see that there is another day coming. And then she may speak in a typical way about Samuel and about King David. But then she speaks about a king who is not an earthly king, who will declare in the day of his coming that my kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight? So he said, my kingdom is not from hence. Thus those enemies, they are not merely natural. They are also natural. They are not merely natural. But they are now the spiritual enemies of the church of God. And then she sees by faith in the future that there is coming a king who is going to judge every one of those spiritual enemies of the true people of the Lord. Let us sing 193, 1 through 4. O God, to thy anointed king, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1 through 4 of Psalter 193. and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Strength unto his king. You say that king, that is Christ. How is it then that it says he shall give strength unto his king? Because you say Christ, he is divine. He is God. So then he has all strength, then he does not need to be strengthened. And yet it says, he shall give strength unto his king. This kingship that is not that kingship that God has and has had to all eternity over all things, that is as the triune God. But this kingship that is speaking about an office which was given especially to the Son of God as the mediator, as the Savior, and for the deliverance of His own church. It is true that Christ did not need to be strengthened in His divine nature, but He needed to be strengthened as the mediator that He may be able to deliver His church from all His and their enemies. Once man had fallen, there was only one way that man could be delivered. And what was that way? That was through the fulfillment of justice. Why? Because the Lord had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil knew that too. And God is not a man that he should lie. Thus, that punishment that must indeed be suffered. Christ had to be strengthened in that human nature in order that he may pay that price, in order that he may suffer the punishment of true justice and fulfill that justice, and that he may come out from under it. Hannah saw it. She saw it long before it happened. She says, he shall give strength unto his king. Then she saw how that the Lord was not only going to send him, but also that he would uphold him when he went through the fulfilling of that justice, which humanly speaking, that is impossible, because there is no man, there is no mere man that will ever come out from under the punishment of that righteous sentence of God to all eternity. And it is this sentence and this fulfillment of that justice of the Lord that Hannah, she is singing of so many years before that it came to pass. Thus this fulfillment, that is a fulfillment of justice, and it is for the conquering of the enemy of God and His church. That is now the song of Hannah. But she says more. Then she says finally, and also he will exalt the horn of his anointed. What is a horn, boys and girls? A horn that is a symbol that is on an animal of very great strength, and that is a symbol, a sign of power. Thus Hannah, she says, God is going to exalt the power of that mediator in the destruction, the complete destruction of all of those enemies. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And that is going to be through the fulfillment of that justice for that church. That will be the song of that people to all eternity. But congregation, it must also become our song. Has this also become our song? Has the Lord ever exalted the horn of His anointed in our life? Or is there among us a despairing under the power of death? Are there those that say, I cannot deliver myself because I am under the power of that spiritual death? And that enemy, I have no power against him. It is justice that keeps me in my death, because it is sin against a holy and a righteous God. Congregation, Hannah, she says, there is hope for those who are lying under the power of death, not only to be natural slaves of the Philistines, but she says, then there is a hope and an expectation for those who are lying under the power of that prince of darkness. Because sin has brought us to this state of death. But then she may sing about that justice, which is to the deliverance of those that are under that power of death, and to the destruction of the power of that enemy. Oh, the Lord, He shall judge the ends of the earth. That is actually known in the conscience of every man in this world. Why do we fear death? In the first place, because it is not natural. Let no one tell you, young people, that death is a natural thing. That is what they say today. Death is natural. It is not natural. Only look at an animal and see his fear for death. And then you can see that we were not created to die, but to live. But now in man, there is even more. More than the animal's fear of death. There is that fear in us also. But in man, there is also, as Solomon says, that fear, because after death is the judgment. And there is no man, no matter what he declares for himself in this world, that does not believe that after death is the judgment. Because in us, we experience our accountability every single day. When there is no man to see us, when we are in our secret places, in wrongdoing, our conscience is speaking. And when our conscience is speaking, we have an inward testimony in our heart that we have to give an account for what we are doing. That is not lacking in any man in this world, only that man can step on that conscience so hard over and over again so that it is not speaking. But the Lord can awaken that conscience in one moment when he has to stand before the judgment seat of God. Only see him in a great accident, only see him with an incurable disease. And such a professor of non-religion, his conscience also goes open. But that is also one of those first things that the Lord is bringing in the life of man. That's what Bunyan shows in his Pilgrim's Progress. If the Lord will begin with his spirit, then that is one of those first things that we are going to experience in our heart. That is our accountability. That is what Bunyan shows. Because he says that man, he is saying, I cannot die. I have to die. And I have to stand before God. I cannot die. And I do not dare to stand before God. The judgment. Do you ever think about it, boys and girls? About the judgment? And how that will be when we are called to stand before the judge of all the earth? How do that people whom the Lord shows that judgment, how do they think to deal with that judgment? Well, they think to satisfy the justice. Have patience with me. Then they are going to make it good again. But it is all out of ignorance. All they do not realize at that moment what that standard of that law is. It is a standard of perfection. Not one sin. Thought, word, and deed. They do not realize in that moment how deep that fall of Adam is, and that they are lying in a state, not just a condition that they can just change themselves, but that they are lying on their own side in a state of death. How he needs to be instructed, how he needs to be stripped, how he needs to experience cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The Lord, Hannah, she says, the Lord shall judge. The Lord shall judge. Do you think he will need a cross-examination? Do you think he will have to call for witnesses? No, his eyes there as a flame of fire. And they are entering, they are piercing into our heart. They know the thoughts, the intents of the heart, all the motives, all the filth, all the guilt, all the pollution, all the hypocrisy. Oh, it is so necessary that we are condemned. That we are condemned by the judgment of God while we are in this life. That it comes home to us. Why? Because it is those persons to whom the Lord is revealing the strength, the strengthening of the King. Or it is those persons who are given to see the great beauty in the suffering, in the death, but also in the resurrection of that blessed mediator. And why the beauty? Oh, it has to do, congregation, with justice. It has to do with the fulfillment of justice in the life of God's people. Because we have to stand before that judge. And if that sin now is not paid, then and they are going to be condemned forever and forever. But that is now what that faith and the application of that blood to the soul of the people, that is now what that faith may receive. It is only a guilty, condemned people that can be so glad with that innocently condemned Christ. Oh, that becomes for them such a wonder. They had to agree with justice that they would be condemned. Now they may be given to rejoice in a justice wherein God has required the condemning of his own son. Oh, it was justice by which they could not stand before that judgment seat of God. And now it is justice by which they are able to stand before that judgment seat of God. It was justice by which they were lost. It is justice by which they may see that they are saved. It is justice that sealed their condemnation. But it is now justice that is sealing the eternal salvation of that people. O congregation, the Lord, not man, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And Hannah rejoiced in it. She rejoiced in it. We read it together also. The words of the psalmist. We sang it together. Could you rejoice in it too? When we sang it together. That the Lord is going to judge the ends of the earth. Oh, for us. Maybe it is a great terror. Why? Well, sin. Sin is not forgiven. Guilt is not forgiven. That debt is not paid. There is no reconciliation. And then Annas says, the adversaries of the Lord, they shall be broken. They shall be broken to pieces. The Lord shall thunder upon them out of heaven. Oh, how is it possible that we are so careless? That we are so careless as we are walking through this world. Was Hannah without sin? No. No. But in Hannah, the Lord, he exalted the horn of his anointed. It is not a people without sin. No, it is a people who are forgiven. Who are forgiven because the Lord looks through his fingers? No. Who are forgiven because that justice that is already satisfied. Because it is satisfied already in another. And then that terror, no. Then that terror that is all gone. When they have to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. Is that still possible? O congregation, do you know what the apostle says? The apostle says that judgment was by one to condemnation. The judgment of this world. That was by one man. It was by one man's sin. Who was that, children? Adam. Judgment. Was by one to condemnation. But then he says something else. But he says the free gift. That is of many offenses. Unto justification. Free gift, free gift, free gift of many, many, many offenses. And unto justification, all to be right with that law of God in and through His only begotten Son, then there is hope for the chiefest of the sinners. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou hast paid that awful price, but we do not even feel what our sin is. Oh, how miserable that we are by nature and can be even after a received grace. Oh Lord, grant us that true conversion. Grant us that true turning. And cause us to seek this payment that has been made upon that cursed tree. For He has declared that it is finished. And at that price that is so fully paid, remember those who grieve because of their sin. Open their eyes. Show unto them what Thou hast done, and give a little faith that they may receive it also by Thy Spirit. Forgive our sins of this hour. Bring us safely to our places. And with desire in Thy house in this afternoon hour, help him that will go before us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 126, 2 and 5. A river flows where streams make glad in the city of our God, the holy place wherein the Lord Most High has His abode. Psalter 126, stanzas 2 and 5. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless them.